This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملق التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يفرحون بكتاب الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا صالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين رب العالمين Today is my fourth khutbah on these two ayat of Surah Yunus. In these ayat I mentioned towards the end of them, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ Because of all of that, they should be filled with joy. And based on that statement, I commented that these ayat contain the Quran's prescription for what it takes to be happy. What does it mean to be happy and what does it take to be happy? And earlier on in this series, I talked to you about how happiness is one of the most, or if not the most common pursuit among all of humanity. Human beings just want to be happy, right? And we've been looking at the Quran's building blocks for this feeling and this goal, if you will, that is different from what we all share already. So the unique elements to this happiness that Allah has outlined. And today is an opportunity to discuss the third of those elements, wahudan. So Allah says, the first of them in this series was, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ So if you want to hear about that, you can listen to an earlier recording of this series. The second time around was, شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ We zoomed in on the second phrase, healing. For what lies inside of the chest. And now it's the third component that is mentioned, and that is simply a single word, wahudan. And it's remarkable that the first two phrases that Allah mentioned, maw'idhatun and shifa'un, they had additional qualifiers. The scholars of Balagha call it a qayd. So maw'idhatun min rabbikum. The min rabbikum is an additional qualifier. So it's not just counsel, it's counsel from your master, right? So there's a qualification there. Then in the second case, it is shifa'un lima fi sudur. So it's not just any kind of healing, healing particular to what lies inside of our chest, our emotional and our spiritual states. But when it came to guidance, there is no qaid, there is no hudan min rabbikum, for instance, right? Or hudan lakum. There's no qualifier at the end of that. And what that does is tawassur, it opens things up. And so we're going to look at this term guidance, first of all, from a point of view in the Arabic language that's very important to understand, which is called isti'ara and tamthil. This concept in the Arabic language that words paint entire pictures. So you, when you think of a word, you don't just think of that word, that abstract word, you think of an entire portrait that's being painted. And the word guidance is one of those words. We use it very commonly because it's become a religious phrase, right? So may Allah guide this person, or we are seeking guidance, or the Quran is guidance. And the word, the more commonly we use words, the less thought goes into them. They become second nature. We say them without thinking deeply about them. So today is an opportunity to step back and look at the word guidance for what it is and how it was understood, even outside of the context of the Quran, and then apply that to what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here. Okay. So the term guidance or hudan is most directly used for somebody who's traveling. So if you're on a journey and you need directions on where to go, then you are in need of guidance. And of course, anybody who's traveling has a purpose. So when someone says they are in need of guidance or they're following a certain guidance, that necessarily implies that that person has a goal. The destination they want to get to is their goal, right? So you can never have a conversation about guidance without actually having a conversation about a goal. And this is true now, if you think about the journey example, if you think now of any other example in any part of your life, if you want guidance on how to do better in school, your goal is doing better in school. And you're going to get tips from someone, advice from someone on how to reach that goal. That goal became your purpose, right? You can go, athletes go to a coach to get guidance on how to perform better, to improve on certain weaknesses that they have in their skill set. Right? You go to your professor for guidance on a certain chapter that's giving you a hard time. The other chapters, see, this one's giving you a hard time. You need some extra guidance on it. And your goal is to understand that chapter better. In other words, the association I want you to make in your minds to start with is whenever there's a conversation about guidance, there's always a conversation about what? About a goal, about a purpose at the end. Okay, so the traveler has a purpose. The traveler is not just walking in any direction. The traveler wants to take every single step that takes them closer to the direction they want to get to, the destination they want to get to. So when Allah says hudan, then Allah doesn't have to mention that He gave us a goal. The goal is already understood. The goal already exists. Now human beings have been given guidance on how to attain that goal. And this is really powerful because we in our life have many goals. We don't just have one. You could say the ultimate goal for a believer is what, you know, wa inna ila rabbika al-muntaha, that to your master is the final end. In fact, life itself, our inhale and exhale, is actually also a journey. Time is also a journey. Allah says, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqihi. You are marching relentlessly, whether you like it or not, towards your master, and eventually you shall meet him. Like this life itself is a journey, the destination of which is Allah Himself. Right, it has stops along the way. My grave is the next stop. Then judgment day is the main stop after that, coming out of the grave. Then the march towards the meeting with Allah. And I pray that Allah enters all of us into His Jannah. Right, so that's our next, these are our goal after goal after goal. And then meeting with Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are goals. But even before all of that, in fact, every single day we have goals. It's not even just the Akhirah, which is the ultimate goal. I have goals to accomplish every single day. You have many, many goals every morning. You got to wake up at a certain time because you have certain things to finish and get to work on time. There's a project at work you have to finish. That has a goal. There's a certain amount of money you want to save because there's a certain expense you need to fulfill, or there's an investment you need to make, or there's a loan you have to pay off, or there's whatever else, financial goals, academic goals. There's a book you need to finish. There's a paper you need to write. Every single thing you do is made up of targets, goals, and we're running after them, one after the other, after the other. Incidentally, I want to share with you something I read recently about an athlete. I won't name athletes because it's no need to embarrass them, but the story is important. It was a professional athlete, very accomplished in his career, and he retired. And once he retired, these athletes make quite a bit of good money, right? So they're doing very well for themselves. But it turns out in a couple of years, he actually ended up going to jail for drug abuse, for, you know, beating up on his wife, and then ended up homeless and ended up being found drunk, asking people to buy him a drink and all of that. And his other colleagues who also retired, some of them became sports analysts, some of them wrote books, some of them did other things. They went into real estate or whatever else. And they were all close friends, and they were interviewed about this one athlete that ended up his life in ruin, and they said he couldn't find himself a goal. But he would, so psychologists talk about this. In the absence of a goal, human beings experience three things. They experience boredom. I don't know what to do. They get bored. And boredom is actually a pretty lethal feeling. It's a restlessness inside you that I need to fill this empty space of time with something. like kids in the middle of summer vacation, right? Like it's almost a kind of pain. Boredom can be a kind of pain. And then associated with that, when you're bored and you have nothing to do, then your mind travels to not read, because you're not engaged in reality in front of you. So your mind goes in two directions, either anxiety or depression. It goes into these directions. So not having a goal in the world, not in the world of Islam, not in the world of Iman, in the world of psychology, not having even smaller goals actually leads to boredom, which then is tied to anxiety and is tied to depression. This is something people that study the human being have discovered. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We're going to show them our miraculous signs in the skies, and we're going to show them our miraculous signs even inside of themselves. Even inside of themselves. Allah has revealed to us what? Guidance. What does that mean? Allah has given us something that constantly keeps our eyes on a goal. He's given us a goal. And it's not just, like I said in the beginning, not just a goal of Jannah. But what has He done? He has guided every one of my other goals. In other words, if you have financial goals, now they have been guided to be the right kind of financial goals. If you have, you know, professional goals, they've been guided now to stay within the line of what pleases Allah. That's part of the guidance of Allah, right? So one of the things that guidance does is it doesn't let your goals become the wrong targets. You're not running after the wrong thing. And even if you're running after the right thing, sometimes you can take the wrong approach, right? You want to provide for your family. That's a good goal, but you want to go about it the wrong way. Allah won't just guide you to the destination, which is good. You should be providing for your family, but He's going to guide you in a way that doesn't violate yourself and others in doing so. Doesn't approach haram means. Doesn't approach dhulm. So what Allah has given us in Huda, which is again the larger subject of this series, is our connection to happiness. First of all, you can immediately see a connection. People that always have a sense of purpose don't have time to be dwelling, don't have time to sit. And people talk about highly functional people that are otherwise, if they have like a day off, they become restless, right? There are people, so they're so high functioning and they're so accomplished in life and they're very happy at work. They're very happy when they're active in sports or whatever else, but give them a day off, just a day off, just relax. They can't do it. It just starts bothering them. Because they're so goal-driven. They're so driven by purpose, constantly driven by purpose, that not having a purpose, even for a day or 2 days, then the vacation becomes a burden. The vacation becomes something difficult. This happens to people that are used to working, you know, men and women perhaps, but also especially I know that among friends at least, men that have a job, and then something happens and they lose their job. Right? And in between the time of losing their job and finding the next one, they go through extreme depression, extreme bouts of sadness. Why? Because they feel like they have no purpose. You know, folks that retire, you know, older folks that retire, they need to have a sense of purpose. And what has Allah given us? He has given us a constant sense of purpose. Other than, like I said in the beginning, we share happiness with the rest of humanity. You don't have to be Muslim to want to be happy, right? So we have something in common with them. Similarly, career goals, professional goals, athletic goals, health goals, those are all goals we share with other people too. So what is Allah adding that they don't have that we have? There's a fadl Allah has given us here that other human beings don't have. Allah has especially given to us. And that's what I want to bring our focus to today, is that Allah has given us a higher sense of purpose. Allah has given us everything that everybody else calls a goal. For us, that's actually not a goal. There's another goal behind it. That's just a milestone. And you should understand the difference between a milestone and a goal, right? Somebody who's in a race and the race is 100 meters, maybe 50 meters is a milestone. But they don't start celebrating once they hit 50 meters. Now they're ready to actually make it to their final goal. You understand? So for us, something like providing for a family, graduating from college, getting a job, getting married, having children, whatever goals you have, all of them, by the guidance of Allah, they actually turn into milestones. They were never your goal. They were just yet another step that you had to take to get to a larger goal. And that larger goal is actually open. And that's This is the tricky part that I want to make sure everybody here understands, inshallah. Allah told us in Surah Al-Isra, قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَىٰ شَاكِلَتِهِ فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَىٰ سَبِيلًا. It's a very beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Isra. Allah told every one of us to work hard according to the shakila, the predisposition, the shape, the form that he has been created with. Meaning, I have been given a different set of skills, a different kind of, different set of genetics, different set of talents, different strengths than you. You were given a completely different kind of mind, different kind of opportunity, different kind of genetic makeup. You were given something else. I was given something else. Somebody else was given something else. The first thing is Allah said, work in accordance with what you have been given. What happens when we don't understand this guidance of Allah? Everyone starts thinking, my goals should be based on my comparison to that person. This person reached this goal, and this goal. How come I didn't reach it? They did this. My brother did so well in medical school. I hate biology. I'm a failure. Right? What's someone not understanding? The shakila of your brother is not your shakila. You might be an Olympic athlete. I don't know. You might be a remarkable writer. I don't know. You're something other than what was given to your brother. You know? وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, He says, don't wish for what Allah has given some people preference over you in. Allah gave someone an advantage in some things, and He made you put you at a disadvantage, and He gave you an advantage, and He gave others a disadvantage. So the first part, these ayat, I'm tying them in, because when Allah simply says He's given us guidance, in other words, guidance means we have to get to a destination. For a lot of people now, especially nowadays, they're asking the question, so what's supposed to be my goal? What's supposed to be my goal? The general goals are the same. We want to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. We don't want to disobey Him. We want to be able to meet Him on Judgment Day with success. That's all understood. But you know what? Beyond just staying away from haram and doing halal and doing your prayers and doing your fasting, above and beyond all of that, Allah gave you a skill set, didn't He? Allah gave you a set of talents, didn't He? And He wants those talents to be guided so that even the worldly things you accomplish, the degree you get, the job you get, the business you start, even that business, even that degree, even that career, whatever you're able to do, that becomes a way of expanding guidance for others too. It becomes a way of goodness being spread in the world too. It's a purpose greater than yourself. It's a purpose larger than yourself. You didn't just accomplish something to make your parents proud. Now that they're proud, now what? Now what do I have to accomplish? Now I'm you know, it's already done. This is all I was fighting for. That's already done. Now I'm pretty much depressed. And now I'm angry because I don't have a purpose. There's a larger purpose. And that purpose has to be designed by you based on the shakila Allah gave you. And then people come and say, Saad, tell me what I'm good at. No. I can't tell you what you're good at. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. You're refusing to look at yourself carefully. Look at you. Acknowledge the gifts Allah has given you. Allah says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. What the gifts, the blessing Allah has given you, your master has given you, talk about it. It's not just the external blessings. It's the internal blessings Allah has given you. The talents, the mind, the opportunity, the rizq Allah has given you. Talk about it. And how can you talk about it to someone else if you haven't even acknowledged it for yourself? How can you even do that? So when Allah gave us guidance, He gave us a real, true sense of purpose, a powerful sense of purpose, which is different from the kind of sense of purpose that cultures condition into their offsprings. Cultures condition into the offspring, when you get to this age, you better buy a house. When you get to this age, you better get married. When you get to this age, you better have this job, this degree, et cetera, et cetera. These are the goals that one generation, they see successful people accomplish these things, so they want that to be the purpose for their children, right? But the world changes, and these goals change. Societies change. But if young men and women were brought up understanding that you have to define a high sense of purpose for yourself, then they'll stop comparing themselves to everybody else. They'll just have this sense of, I need to accomplish something serious for myself first. I need to accomplish great things. And so the last part of this, which is again, part of this word guidance that Allah has given us, is that sometimes a young man or a young woman says, I have an amazing idea. I want to teach the whole world the Quran. I want to do this. Like big goals. which it's amazing that you have big goals. It's a really cool thing to have big goals. It's a really great thing to have vision. But you know what happens sometimes? You're sitting at a park bench talking about transforming the world. And 3 years later, you're sitting at a park bench talking about transforming the world. And man, inshallah, you know, my goals are really, yeah, what have you done for those goals in the last 3 years? No, but I have these goals, inshallah, as soon as the opportunity opens up. You know what? The one who's traveling doesn't say, I know this city is 1,000 miles away, but I'm going to get there. Oh, I'm going to get there. All right. Yeah, but did you take a step yet? No. But as soon as I find a rocket ship, I'm going to. Why can't you take a step? Why can't you take a step? You know, the fact that you don't take a single step towards a goal. And what are the first steps? The first steps are to prepare yourself. You want to be a great teacher. Before you become a great teacher, you have to be an incredible student. Where's your eagerness to become an incredible student? I want to do a lot of da'wah. I want to preach about it. Okay, great. You want to give a lot of da'wah. But you know what? Before you give a lot of da'wah, you better take some da'wah yourself. And you better immerse yourself in learning. You better immerse yourself in what you want to become good at. So when you set up a higher goal, the first milestone, because we talked about milestones, the first milestone is actually conquering yourself. Overcoming your own laziness, overcoming your own self-doubt, overcoming your own lack of belief in yourself, overcoming your own, you know, lack of willpower to struggle. As soon as a struggle becomes difficult, you sit back down. Yeah, my goals are still really, really amazing though, but I ran out of breath a little bit. Yeah, okay, fine. You ran out of breath. Sit down, catch your breath, get back on it. Let's go. We have goals to accomplish. Life is short. You got things to do. This is actually part of the meaning of watawasaw bilhaqqi, watawasaw bilsabr. Sabr, grit, resilience, is we're counseling each other to the truth. We're pushing each other to push, you know, because nobody can push me further than I can push myself. But the moment I'm losing a little bit of steam, I have a support system around me, somebody around me that says, no, you can do more. You can push yourself more. And so when Allah says, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى and guidance. Then the guidance is in the word of Allah. The guidance is how valuable you see yourself. The guidance is how every one of your goals turns into a milestone for something even bigger and bigger and bigger. So you don't think small like other people do. You don't think small. And when you don't hit a single milestone, you don't feel like that's a failure. Because that was never your goal anyway. That just means it'll take you longer to get to that milestone. So if people are getting ahead of you in worldly things, you're not feeling like you missed out on something in life. That's not your thought process at all. Because and even if you got well ahead of everybody else, you're not looking back at everybody who you left behind and going, look at how far from those guys I've come. Man, we started at the same place, but look at where I am and look at where those guys still are. You don't feel a sense of accomplishment because you think you've beat somebody else, because the only one you're conquering is yourself. You're pushing yourself. And this sense of guidance is self-driven. Yes, we should have a support system if we can. But at the end of the day, we are the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are the followers of the prophets. And the prophets did not have a support system. They had drive within themselves. They had iman within themselves. So stop waiting for someone to pick you up. Stop waiting for someone. Could you tell me something to motivate me? This is a sickness. Tell me something to motivate me. Allah has given you already maw'idha. Allah has given you already shifa' lima fi sudur. Allah has given you huda already. He's given you those things. You're just sitting there waiting as if somebody else is going to say it, and then finally it will have an effect. That's because you underestimate yourself. And Allah would not give these valuable gifts. See, look at how much Allah has done ta'zeem of the hiba, right? The gift. The gift here is the Quran. It's, you know, maw'idhatan min rabbikum, shifa'un lima fi sudur, hudan. It's a remarkable gift, and a great gift is not given to someone who's not worthy. So the wahib is mentioned, the hiba is mentioned, the gift is mentioned, but the mawhub, the one the gift is given to, is valuable. If you weren't so amazing to Allah, why would He give this to you? If you weren't worth it, and you weren't capable of carrying it, why would you have it? Why would you be given this gift? You are chosen to be able to carry this responsibility and to live up to some amazing good things. Some amazing things, which starts with pushing yourself. I have to start with pushing myself. And the moment we start sitting back and forgetting that we have a higher goal to accomplish, And we start becoming petty and narrow-minded, like others around us that you should only feel sorry for. They seek financial, social, shallow goals, goals of how many followers do you have, or how much money have you saved, what kind of car do you have? Like, these are shallow goals. And when these become goals, then what's the difference between us and the people who have been given this remarkable gift? We've been given something way bigger to seek after, to seek our purpose after. So I pray that every one of you is able to find true purpose in this life based on the talents, the gifts that Allah has given you, and you're able to pursue that within the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you're able to find the willpower and the strength to really refine yourself, to beat yourself up, to truly, enable yourself to meet your full potential. This is the last thing I'll share with you. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah did not burden any person except with their own wusr. وسعها. This idafa is really interesting. It's got two dimensional meanings. One, Allah does not put a burden on you more than you can carry. That's one, everybody knows that meaning. The other meaning of this also is Allah did not burden you with anything except with your own potential. In other words, nobody else knows your potential. Somebody else might be really impressed with you that you've accomplished so much, you've done so much, but you know you didn't even touch 10% of your potential. And Allah made you responsible to live up to the potential that He gave you. Your wuzr is much bigger than what people see, and what even you might have seen in yourself. So the gift Allah has given us is one of us not underestimating ourselves and living up to the remarkable guidance that He's given us. This is why the Sahaba saw a value in themselves. They saw a responsibility in themselves that was able to transform the world as we know it. They just transformed the world as we know it. And I pray that mentality, that mindset, that strong, gritful mindset embeds itself, especially in our young generation, that they don't run after shallow goals, but what everybody else considers a major accomplishment, you just consider a milestone to get you ready for the next one. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.